Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, February 29th, 2024, leap year date, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 6 in Bill's story, reading the second full paragraph beginning with, "The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms." We're going to read one paragraph this morning, ending with, "I was 40 pounds underweight." And we're going to read and comment on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Lois P., who will be reading the text, Kara L., reading page 164, Sherry Z. is our backup reader today, newcomer greeter is Sherry M., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, February 28th, 2024, is 21,180 or 21180. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,182 or 21182. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Lisa W. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. I'm Lisa W. from California, a compulsive overeater, and I thank you for letting me do service for the month of February. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact natures of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual waking as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa W. I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts, the 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige diverge from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, and COA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Patty F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in Bill's story. We're on page 6. We're reading the second full paragraph, beginning with, "The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms." Reading one paragraph, ending with, "I was 40 pounds underweight." And we're going to read and comment on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Lois P. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms, for mine endured this agony 2 more years. Sometimes I stole from my wife's slender purse when the morning terror and madness were on me. Again, I swayed dizzily before an open window or the medicine cabinet where there was poison, cursing myself for a weakling. There were flights from city to country and back as my wife and I sought escape. Then came the night when the physical and mental torture were so hellish, I feared I would burst through the window, sash and all. Somehow I managed to drag my mattress to a lower floor, lest I suddenly leap. A doctor came with a heavy sedative. Next day found me drinking both gin and sedative. This combination soon landed me on the rocks. People feared for my sanity, so did I. I could eat little or nothing when drinking, and I was 40 pounds underweight. What we are witnessing here is the emotional, spiritual, and physical collapse of a tortured soul, of a tortured human being. It's astounding the power that was in Bill's body and his mind and his heart that has kept him going up to this point, and that kept me going as well when I was so abusing myself with food over so many years. I, like Bill, was on the verge of collapse or thoughts of ending my life so many times. There was a breakdown that was ongoing in my heart as well as we see here with Bill, when there is nothing to hold on to except our own self, or our ideas of success, or our ideas of will, that somehow we can do what we need to do in this life, and we have nothing else to lean on. This is the very sad state that he has succumbed to, and he'll sink even lower, as I did. Because I didn't know. I always believed in God. I believed there was something greater, but I had no living relationship with that power, nor does he at this point. And it's heartbreaking to read this. It's heartbreaking to remember what I went through and how much suffering I must have caused the people around me who loved me when they saw me putting on pounds after pounds after pounds like Bill, drink after drink after drink, helpless, completely powerless, because I had nothing bigger than myself to fix me. I had no idea about this change that could occur had I turned my life over to a loving God, nor does Bill know that at this point. So this incredible suffering that he's going through, to the point where he just wants to end it, and yet he knows he can't and he shouldn't and he won't. It's a testimony to the power that is within him that will carry him through, that did carry me through, so that he will have a new life, a blessed life, that will affect millions of people, little does he know. And just in my own small life, how my life was turned around, coming into this program, being exposed to the big book and the teachings and the steps, how this has changed my life and therefore has helped change the lives of people around me. This is miraculous. We have yet to see his miracle. So with that, I'll pass and thank you for the opportunity to share.
Oh, thank you so much, Lois P. What a great way to get started. All right, we're now going to open the meeting up for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I'll remind you with the timer when your time is up. When you hear the timer, please finish up promptly so we can give others a chance to share. I'm going to ask, get the first line up, and please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Kara L., California.
Got you, Kara.
Donna W.
I've got Donna W.
Beverly R. Anna from M. Silver Spring, Maryland.
I heard you, Beverly from Maryland. There was someone else in there. I didn't catch your name.
Anna M.
Was that Anna M?
Yeah.
Okay, got ya. Is there anyone else who wants to get in on this first round? Okay, I've got Kara L., Donna W., I believe it's Beverly R., Anna M. Kara, you'll be up first, followed by Donna, and please, everyone, let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you, everybody that's doing service on the meeting today. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. And I just love, you know, the description here, the reality, right? And I could identify with, like, those days where it was just like, oh, it's just too much. I'm just going to eat, and then I don't have to think about it. Or I'm just going to do whatever I can do till I can go to bed. I'm just going to, you know, and today I know the answer is when I'm in that state of mind, you know, is to slow down, stop trying to fix it myself, and seek my higher power. You know, not all the days, you know, recovery to me, yeah, I do have a lot of freedom. But some days are still hard. You know, some days I still think I have the answers. And so when I do, that's what I do. Well, I call fellows. I sit quietly and I seek my higher power. I'm of service to others. You know, we're going to see some of that when we get to the end of Bill's story. But did my family fear for my sanity? Well, I was pretty much a crazy person. Did they stop trusting me? Yeah. I was always on a new diet or new eating plan or new exercise plan. You know, was I gaining weight uncontrollably? Yes. All those things were happening, right? And it was kind of a steamroller. And until I could just admit that I couldn't do it and that I needed a power greater than myself, you know, when that happened, That's when life began to change, and that's when, you know, the light began to shine. And I'm so grateful for that today, and I'm so grateful to be in these steps and to be on the line with fellows. And thank you all, and I look forward to hearing from everybody. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Kara L. from California. Next up, Donna W., followed by Beverly R.
Thank you so much. This is Donna W. from California. I'm so grateful for my abstinence and my recovery today. And first of all, you know, when Bill says he could barely eat anything and he lost all this weight, well, that, as a compulsive eater and an overweight for most of my life, that always appealed to me. It's like, God, I wish I could stop eating and lose some weight and be underweight. So there's that. And then also there's something about in Bill's story where it's like somehow, some way the alcohol is keeping him alive. Like rather than killing himself, he always chooses to go for another drink. And, you know, somehow I also have to trust that eating kept me alive. Like I had hard times and I chose the food and, you know, somehow it kept me going. So I want to appreciate that. And then using the food created its own set of issues, as it does for Bill. And, you know, I need to find another power that's going to keep me going. And so it's good for me to see how powerless Bill is over the drink. And it's good for me to see how powerless I am over food. And it's also, you know, he's stealing from his wife. And sometimes I need to remember, like, I'm an addict. I go to a local AA meeting here because I can walk to it and great to have an in-person meeting. And, you know, I introduce myself as an addict, and sometimes that really helps me. Like, food just does not seem like that big of a deal to me at times. Like, oh, I just want to lose some weight. That's just a bite of food. Like, how can that just be such a big deal? But, no, I'm an addict. I lie, I cheat, I steal to get my substance to use to numb out. I'm scheming. And I'll do whatever it takes. And I am an addict. And I have to admit that to myself, even though food doesn't seem like as big of a deal. With that, I'll pass. I'm grateful to be here today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Donna W. from California. Next up, Beverly R., followed by Anna M.
Beverly R.
Hi, Beverly. We can barely hear you.
Yeah, so... what happened, before I came into the program, I would go from pastry shop to pastry shop, picking up my treats, don't know why we call them treats, or stop at my favorite watering hole on the way to somewhere else, and all these crazy things I was doing. I would go to a function and sit in front of the dessert table for the whole night. Oh, my goodness. Embarrassing myself and my family. And I don't do that anymore, but I am still struggling with my abstinence, and I'm asking for your prayers. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Beverly R. We're glad you're here. Next up, we have Anna M. And Anna, if you can let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Anna M., and I'm a prostitute compulsive overeater calling from Connecticut. Today I have, I'm off today, and actually the passage that was read out of the big book really brought me back to how I came back into the program, because I was in and out of the program for years and years and didn't really understand working the steps. I was very young. In my 20s when I first came into OA. So, of course, there was a lot of things I needed to experiment with and a lot of things that I needed to do before I really understood the true nature of my illness. And so when I came in, before I started to learn about the Vision for You meeting, I could remember looking out my living room window and asking God to help me, because I felt like I just, like, it was read, like the guy, he wanted to jump, he was going to jump out the window. He felt like he could do it. And I actually felt that way too. I didn't know what to do. So God God took care of me. Like, he, you know, he brought me to this the Vision for You, the earlier meeting, and then I got a sponsor and started learning about the steps and started working the steps. And, you know, fast forward to today, I haven't shared in on the Vision for quite a while because I started a new job, and the job is very demanding and the hours are very long. But however, I realized through this experience that this particular position wasn't the right fit. So I had to take proper steps, and now I'm in the process of resigning and you know, and to kind of accept that this wasn't the right job for me, even though I thought it was. It's like God's will versus my will versus God's will. And I'm not in the food over it. Like, I'm, you know, I just really couldn't do the job. It wasn't, it didn't match my personality. And to be able to kind of process that is been overwhelming. But at the same time, I continue to talk about it. I continue to work steps over it. And I'm not in the food. Like, that's a miracle, because this situation's happened to me in the past, where it wasn't a good fit for my personality, and I handled it in a much different way because I wasn't recovering and I wasn't working my program as I am now. So thank you everyone for being on the line, and I'm going to be having some time to myself before I start my new position, and I'm going to be more able to come on the line. So thank you everyone. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Anna M. from Connecticut. And before I get another lineup, let me share with you where we're at if you're just joining us. So we're in Bill's story on page 6. We're reading the second full paragraph, beginning with, "The mind and body are marvelous mechanisms," ending with, "I was 40 pounds underweight." We're reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Would like to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Luann C.
Sherry H.M. from Washington.
I've got Luann C. I've got, I think that was Shelley. What were your initials, Shelley?
Was it Sherry H.M.?
Oh,
or was
Sherry H.M.?
Okay,
sorry.
No problem.
Sherry H.M.
Kelly H.
I've got you, Kelly H.
Susan M. from Florida.
Susan M. from Florida.
Mo H.
I've got you, Mo.
Thanks.
Yeah. Anyone else? All right. I've got Luann C., Sherry H.M., Kelly H., Susan M., Mo H., and we're going to start with Luann C., followed by Sherry H.M., and let us know where you're calling from. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Luann C. I'm in Boise, Idaho, and recovered just for today. So grateful. Yeah, this paragraph and the paragraph yesterday, wow, what a great description of the insanity. The thing about it is that I never realized I was insane, you know, or the madness, the word the madness really spoke to me. I had no idea, but this paragraph is such a great description of the up and down and in and out and back and forth of this craziness and the effect it had on my family that I never realized. I just thought I was trying to lose weight, right? And one of the gifts of this program has been an understanding of my mom. My mom really suffered from this disease, and after she went off dialysis, you know, that's how she died. And just a real appreciation of the suffering she was going through that we had no idea. I mean, we were baffled. in our family by what she was going through. And she tried everything, you know, Freudian psychology and praying harder and having another child and anything. And we had no idea. And this is such a great illustration. And the 12 steps have really, you know, really gave me back a relationship with my mom, of all things. And tomorrow, I'm so grateful, will be a year. And the difference, you know, at the beginning, I was so excited to be losing the weight. Oh, my God, this thing is really going to work. And just the sanity over a year slowly developing and that I'm functional in my family. Oh, my God, what a great miracle, just a miracle. And I'm so grateful. Thank you for letting me share. And I hope everybody enjoys their freedom today. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lou Ann C. from Idaho, and congrats on your upcoming milestone. And next up, we got Sherry H.M., followed by Kelly H.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Washington State, gratefully recovered. This is a paragraph that I can really relate to, even though I was not a Wall Street person. Our historian was saying a couple weeks ago, that this was, he was a Wall Street darling at this point, and he lived on Park Avenue. And it reminds me how, you know, I was successful in what I was doing in life. But that said, I remember just, you know, I just couldn't stay away from, especially the sugar. I was just, one day I just ate this cake and I just kept eating it. I just could not stop eating it. And I thought, my goodness, what is wrong with me? This is just crazy. I mean, can people be addicted to sugar? And then my higher power lovingly let me know, yes, that's a thing. Who knew? So then I found this program, though. And I mean, like Bill, in some ways, I had the gift of desperation. I had, usually it was like $13,000 to $14,000 of medical bills every year that were out of pocket. And that time for this particular bill that I received, I just was like, oh Lord, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? And so I remembered I had talked to an Al-Anon friend years before, and she had, you know, kept off 55 pounds for many, many years. So that course, you know, made my ears tingle. So anyway, I heard her experience Strength and Hope. And then I went home from Starbucks where we met. And that was my last peppermint mocha. Was it easy at first? No, but God just was able to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And it's an absolute miracle. I don't think about that anymore. I don't think about body size. You know, I don't think about, am I too fat, or, oh, what did I eat? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all this stuff, all that little hamster wheel stuff in my brain. Because, you know, the program really works. So if it's midnight in your soul, have hope, because the dawn is going to shine forth, but you just have to grab onto it and work the program, get a sponsor. So thank you so much, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. Next up, we've got Kelly H., followed by Susan M.
Hey, good morning, all. This is Kelly H., normally from North Carolina, but this morning from California. And I am a compulsive overeater. Definitely, just from the reading, there's lots to own here. Part of it is, for me, realizing what does not work to get into this program or to stay in this program. And it's the following list for me. My own resolve. Dealing from another person's resources to handle my own fears and terror. I can't be in somebody else's spiritual journey. I have to have my own. Keeping myself from windows and medicine cabinets, out of a state of paranoia, trying to be motivated by fear. Geographical moves and taking elaborate trips, or just even a drive with the extravagance of the price of gas. Isolating myself, my sleeping location, dragging my mattress, so to speak, to a lower floor. Medical sedation, using all kinds of potions and lotions and trying to sedate fear and paranoia. These are all things that do not work for me. Other people's fear, that doesn't work for me. Hearing that frothy emotion from others, my own fear of insanity. If I just, lodge myself in a room and just constantly fear for my own sanity, that is not going to keep me out of the food. Attacking my body through extensive exercise or just being mean to myself. These are all things that do not help. So for me, recovery is definitely a program that begins with a God who's outside of me, starting with the work that's inside of me. And when the two meet, that is the sweet spot where I can work my recovery. So with all that, I'll just pass. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Kelly H. from North Carolina. Next up is Susan M., followed by Mo H.
Hi, thank you, Susan, recovered compulsive reader. Grateful to be here. Susan M. from Florida. And, for me, I thought it was just about the food. It's like, okay, I need to get a hold of this. I can get a trainer. I'll figure out the right food plan, and I'll stop with these crazy... I used to have cheat meals, a trainer would tell me, hey, you need to take a break from your food plan and have a cheat meal. But it didn't end there. I mean, it went on for weeks, and I would tell him, look, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just know that I can't stop. And so I thought once I got a hold of the food, everything would be fine. I didn't realize, I had a lot of stuff going on. I was not mentally well. And I didn't realize that until I started making the changes in terms of my abstinence, my recovery, and working a program at the same time. That things started clearing up. My relationships got better. Things got more clear and simple and easy. My schoolwork got easier. Work kind of started aligning. Sometimes I don't realize the mess that I'm in until I get willing to work my program and I see how much easier things get. Even this morning, I have a lot of stuff going on. My husband was in a really bad car accident. Now we have, ER, medical bills, all sorts of stuff going on, insurance, his car is totaled, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't have time for meeting. Yes, I do have time for meeting. I definitely have time for meeting. As a matter of fact, that's the most important thing this morning. I have to align with my higher power. I felt so crazy this morning. And not that anything really changed in my external circumstances, but internally, I feel so much more at peace. I feel more organized. I feel more simple and clear. I don't feel as crazy. And that's a miracle. I mean, I don't know of anything, no pill I could take or anything where 3 hours later, I just feel I feel more peaceful. Life is aligning. So I'm really grateful for this program. I need it. I want it. I have to work it every day. And it's my lifeline. It's what keeps me going. So really grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Susan M. from Florida. Mo H., you're up next.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Stephanie. Thank you for your service this month and all those who gave service. My recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. I was in the rooms a long, long time before I found vision or was brought, vision was shared with me. And I would hear it said that we were to identify in and not identify out. And most of my eating career, I identified out. I wasn't as bad as that person, et cetera, et cetera. But boy, can I identify in with this paragraph. Where he talks, the torture, the mind and body are marvelous mechanisms. For mine endured this agony for 2 more years. Well, I don't know how many years my body endured this agony. It was torture, on this diet, lose the weight, gain the weight back. I could identify with other people that were talking about frothy emotional appeal. That never worked, never worked. And then he was seeking an escape. I always sought escapes. It was either hiding my food, are hiding my body with bigger clothes. You know, muumuus were fashionable back in the day. I wore a lot of those. But I was really violent to my body by eating all this food, and I'm paying for it now with dental issues. I have a root canal next week. But I have here written in my book, there are two deaths that we have to incur in this program. This is the death of food, and it's the death of self-will. And it's, you know, I turn my will over to my higher power on a daily basis. I wake up, and I'm not abstinent when I wake up, but I turn my will over to my higher power, and I ask him to guide me throughout the day. And, you know, I go through my list of prayers that helps me, you know, without through the day. So, you know, this is a really powerful paragraph, you know, seeing that word torture in there. You know, he sought escape, physical and mental torture. And I did not know about the mental torture until I came into the rooms and learned how the disease just eats away at my brain. That's a good word to use, eats away at my brain. You know, oh, just one, you want this, it won't hurt, one more, you were good this week, you can, you know, have a free day, like someone said. So, you know, I really identify in with this paragraph, and I just invite the newcomers to hang in there, stay on the line at the end and give your name, and with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Mo H. Love that, two deaths. We're going to get another lineup going here, but before that, I want to remind you again, if you're just joining us, we are page 6, that second paragraph, beginning with the mind and body are marvelous mechanisms. We read just that one paragraph, finishing with, I was 40 pounds underweight. And if you'd like to share, please give me your first name and last initial and where you're calling from.
Ann B.
Lisa
New York.
In Manchester.
I've got Ann B. from New York. And who was that after Ann?
Rita Q.
Hey, Rita. Gotcha.
Thanks, Beth.
From Manchester.
Betsy O.
Yeah. I've got Betsy O. And I can probably take one more.
Julie. Oh, yeah.
I heard Julie. And Julie, what was your last initial?
G as in George.
G. Okay, well, hold there, and if we didn't get you, come back tomorrow, please. I've got Ann B., Rita Q., Betsy O., Julie G. Let us know where you're calling from, and Ann, you'll be up first, followed by Rita Q.
Hello, this is Ann B. from Westchester United Intergroup in New York. I am a compulsive overeater. I don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 19 years. And I'm thinking about, you know, my first thought was, gee, I wasn't that bad, you know, and this idea of identifying in seemed like a good one. So I thinking about the actual physical pain that I was in. I had tripped on the stairs and I caught myself. I grabbed the railing and caught myself. So I didn't actually fall, but because of my weight, I gave myself bursitis in my shoulder, and I was in pain in that shoulder for many months, and I didn't want to admit it, you know, before I was actually in program for several months before I actually went and got a cortisone shot in that shoulder so that it got better. But that was directly connected with my weight. If I had been normal weight and caught myself with the railing like that, I wouldn't have sprained my shoulder. And, you know, I had, back in 1999, knee surgery, and it had been successful, but as I gained weight, my knee was hurting more and more again. And so I was noticing that pain getting worse as I gained weight. And yes, certainly when I lost the weight, I'm now down about 50 pounds from where I was, you know, that I had so much more energy. I could walk longer distances. I had the honesty to admit that my shoulder hurt. That was very weird. I just didn't even want to admit that I had pain in my shoulder, you know. And so, yes, I was in actual physical pain from eating. And I was seeing, too, the numbers. The blood pressure was starting to creep up. The blood cholesterol was starting to creep up. I wasn't quite at the point where I needed medication because I was only 47, but I was going to. There were definitely my body, and also every night after, because I always ate two dinners, I would, you know, grab snacks when I got home from work, and then my ex wanted to have a sit-down dinner, so I would eat a second sit-down dinner, which I didn't need, and then I would always feel nauseous every night. And I remember asking my doctor, why do I feel nauseous? And he said, I don't know. And it wasn't until I joined OA that I realized, oh, I feel nauseous because I'm eating too much. So there was a lot of physical discomfort going on. And, of course, the tightness of my clothing that I had to keep discarding as it got too tight. And some of it was very painful wearing tight clothes because I had gained weight. And some of them were gifts my husband had given me. And okay, so there's the time. I will pass.
Well, thank you so much, Anne B. from New York. Next up, Rita Q., followed by Betsy O.
Oh, thanks, Stephanie. Hi, my name is Rita Q., recovered, not cured, compulsive overeater. I love this paragraph, you know, because it really shows the progression for me. And, you know, my mind and body endured horrific consequences up to 350 pounds and then in relapse up to 400. And I remember thinking my bottom line's changed. I had bottom lines of what I would not do around behaviours. And I remember I wasn't a big drive-through girl. That wasn't my thing. I just went to the equivalent of the 7-Elevens over here. And I remember thinking, I know I'm screwed if I start going there and start buying X, Y, and Z. And lo and behold, I remember standing outside one thinking, oh, sugar, what do I do now? Because I have limboed under every single bottom line and it's on the floor now. So it's, you know, I love this and I love what somebody said about the two deaths. That's really important for me. It was the death of food. And then as I was coming to believe, it was the death of my self-will, because my self-will will never have killed itself. It had to be starved of oxygen. And the only way I could do that was let my higher power take over. And it's that battle. And it's funny how you scoff to people jumping. Bill scoffs a couple of paragraphs before, people jumping off the high towers of finance or whatever. And now he's desperate. And I had that as well. I remember looking out the window so many times from a young age, looking out the window thinking, I just want this to end. And I had a good life in many ways. I had a happy time growing up. I traveled. But there was just part of me. There was this noise inside me in on loop that told me I was worthless. And the only thing that stopped it was food. And you know what? It only lasted 10 seconds maybe. 8 seconds, and then by the time I was so deep in it, I barely got 2 seconds out of it, and the noise would start again, that white noise, and I hated it. And, you know, I had suicide ideations a lot when I was, you know, in the food, and because I thought that was the only way to stop it, not realizing that the steps would do exactly what the food would do for me without the horrific consequences. And it's funny when he said it became so hellish, it was just... It became unbearable for me. And when I first walked into the rooms, I didn't know why I was there at 27. I had no idea. I just knew I wanted to stop eating because nothing else worked. And oh my God, did I try everything. The only thing I didn't try was surgery because I knew it wouldn't work. And I knew I'd still want to blow my brains out if it was sin. So now that's not my case today. And I do have days, I have days where I'm down, but that's okay because I'm a human being. And unfortunately, that's all I'm ever going to be. But I just love what this program has given me, and I love the hopelessness of this paragraph in many ways, because I always find, to find hope again, you've got to be hopeless. And I was certainly hopeless when I came in, and that's not the case today. So, I just wanted to say about I'm drinking gin and sedative. It was like there would not have been enough food in this world, no matter what the mixology was, the salt, the crunchy, the sweet, the sour. I always had to mix it like a DJ with food, and it never worked. That's the effect stopped working because it was so brief. And now I get the effect from my higher power. It doesn't always work that way. I have days where I'm mad, I have days where I'm angry, sad, but that's okay because I know how to deal with that now. I have a program that works and it's miraculous. And I just thank you all for being here. I love you all and I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Rita Q from Manchester, England. Next up, Betsy O, followed by Julie G.
Can I be heard?
We can hear you.
Okay, this is Betsy O from Massachusetts.
You know, when I first was listening to the reading, I'm like, yeah, I never got like that. I was never suicidal. And the more I heard the shares, the more I realized, you know what? My suicidal thoughts were that I got to a point where I gave in to the disease and I said, okay, you got me. This is the way I'm going to be. And in a way, that was suicidal ideation because it's a slow death to give in to it. And I have been through the steps several times in the past 12 months, and every time I keep picking up when I get near the end. And I'm just kind of like, I know it's my journey, and I'm just at a point now where I just question how more times am I going to listen to the lies the disease tells me that I can be a normal eater? How many more times? Well, I don't know the answer to that. But I will say this, that listening to these meetings, reading the big book, and doing my other disciplines, devotions, prayer, that kind of thing, is keeping me closer to God. And the other extraneous things are starting to settle down again. And I'm starting to feel more connected to God. And I am grateful for the many people on this line who have reached out to me over the years, and especially recently, with encouragement and love and grace. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Betsy L. from Massachusetts. And Julie G., you're next. And you got 2 minutes, friend, to close us out.
This is Julie G. in Pennsylvania. I am a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Stephanie, and all everyone who's doing service on the line today and in February. For me, this paragraph really was powerful because it is such a vivid illustration of how this disease ravaged Bill's body and mind. And, you know, it calls to mind for me, if I'm really honest, how I have hurt this body that my creator has given me to live in. And I, you know, I'm so grateful now and give thanks every day that I am waking up in a healthier body. You know, I think that as I listen to shares on the line and do outreach calls and get to know others' stories, you know, I think the deterioration looks different for everyone. But for the newcomer, I was a newcomer not too long ago, 4 months ago, and I love this meeting and the opportunity to hear shares on each and every paragraph, because for me, the purpose of studying these early parts of the big book is that it allows us to listen and reflect and consider, you know, if these words describe us or for me, if I can accept that I have this thing. And if I believe that, then I can be assured that the rest of the book provides a solution. And for me, I know it's the solution because I've tried everything else. But so now we're in the despair part and of Bill's story, and we will get to the hope part. And it is beautiful. And so for me, embracing this solution and working these steps.
That's time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, with that, I'll pass.
Sorry, Julie. Thanks. Yeah, sorry. Thanks for being willing to do a two-minute share. And we are out of time, and we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kara L., can you please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right when great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.